With SDPB News, I'm John Nguyen. Targeted restrictions focused on high-contact businesses could slow down COVID-19 infections with minimal economic pain. A Federal Reserve researcher says the approach could work even in a hotspot like South Dakota. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
Fabrizio Perry does economics research at the Minneapolis Federal Reserve. He says increasing COVID infection rates show that the government needs more tools than personal responsibility to fight the pandemic.
A lot of people do not take into consideration the effect that their actions have on others. You know, that's just the reality of things.
Perry says government should keep telling people to wash their hands, socially distance, and wear masks.
But that's not enough. You need to do a little bit more in order to prevent these dire outcomes. And the question now, what do you want to do? And this is the hardest thing.
So Perry and his colleagues dove into the economic data. They had a question to answer.
Can you actually try to stop economic activity with the minimal possible cost and with the highest possible payoff in terms of saving lives and reducing the number of infections?
Their research shows most workers can be classified as high or low contact. Low contact workers interact mostly with the same people every day. Many factory workers fall into this category. So do office workers. Some of them can even work from home. In low contact settings, a virus tends to stay within the group and die out. On the other hand, high contact workers are in places like gyms, theaters, salons, restaurants, bars, and retail businesses. They usually cannot work from home, and they interact with new people every day.
And that was to spread the virus super fast and super efficient.
Perry says government should identify high-contact workplaces with the lowest economic output. They should pay those business owners and workers during a temporary, targeted business shutdown.
You could cut the numbers a ton. And so it's unfortunate that has not been done.
Perry and his colleagues ran a simulation of their proposal on the greater New York City area. They estimate that from early March to May, a smart shutdown could have prevented 300,000 COVID-19 cases, and economic output would have increased by 1%. But what about now, with increasing COVID cases in South Dakota and other states? Is it too late for what Fabrizio Perry calls a smart shutdown?
Absolutely not.
He says the approach could start now and end by the spring if the government deploys promising vaccines to the general public by then. He says a smart shutdown could save lives this winter.
Most estimates of the fraction of people who caught COVID are about 10%. So you still have 90% of the population susceptible.
Since the first day of fall, South Dakota's COVID deaths have quadrupled. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper.
Sanford Health and longtime CEO Kelby Krabenhoft have mutually agreed to part ways. That's according to a statement from the health system. Krabenhoft made headlines for his comments related to COVID-19 in a staff email last week. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
The Sanford Board of Trustees has named Chief Administrative Officer Bill Gasson the system's new CEO. Krabenhoft led the state's largest health system for 25 years and secured the historic $400 million donation from T. Denny Sanford, for whom the system is now named. Last month, Krabenhoft announced a pending merger between Sanford Health and Utah-based Intermountain Healthcare. He said he planned to retire soon and that Intermountain CEO Dr. Mark Harrison would take over leadership of the merged systems. But late last week, Krabenhoft weighed in on mask policies through a staff email. He agrees masks are effective in curbing the spread of COVID-19, but he opposes government mandates. He revealed he's had COVID-19 and claimed his immunity would make his own mask usage nothing more than symbolic. Sanford Health soon released a statement that Krabenhoft's views do not reflect the health system as a whole. 4 days later, the system announced Krabenhoft's departure. In his own statement, Krabenhoft says Sanford is stronger than ever, and this was a good time to retire. It's unclear if the shifting leadership will impact the merger with Intermountain Healthcare. The merge is expected to close next year. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
In May 2018, a postal worker at St. Francis saw a baggie of white powder that had fallen out of a broken package. Rosebud Sioux Tribal Police field tested the contents and soon after arrested the intended recipient. In preparation for trial, the defendant asked the judge to suppress the evidence, claiming the government conducted an illegal search. The issue went before the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals last week. Victoria Wicks explores this case further for SDPB.
A resident of St. Francis is facing charges involving methamphetamine found in a package at the local post office. In pretrial activity, 49-year-old Stephen William Emery asked a federal judge to throw out the evidence. The judge denied his request, and Emery then asked the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals to rule before the case continues. At oral arguments, public defender Jason Tupman says the bag of meth didn't just fall out of the package. He says the tribal police report indicated there was a box toy car inside the package, and the meth fell out after the postal employee removed the toy from its box.
It is the government's burden of proof to prove that it came open under some non-negligent, non-intentional means, and I don't think they've met that burden here.
Tupman says the post office has a right to refuse to ship a package, but in this case it did not. He says the sealed package was accepted for shipment, and his client had the expectation it would remain private. Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Elmore says the postal employee testified at the suppression hearing that the package was unintentionally damaged.
It's been the position of the government that the contents spilled out and were in plain view.
He says the postal employee carried the package and its contents into a back room and called tribal police. Captain Ivor Crow Eagle and another officer responded.
I recall the words of Captain Crow Eagle when he arrived in that back room. It was immediately apparent that there was a big bag of meth sitting on the table.
Elmore says Emery did not have an expectation of privacy or property interests after the contents fell to the floor. And he says law officers do not have an obligation to look the other way when that happens. Judges will hand down an opinion later. This is an interim appeal, and so Emery is innocent until proven guilty. He remains in custody pending trial. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
More than half of bankers surveyed in rural parts of 10 Plains and Western states are projecting a drop in holiday retail sales this year from last year as the coronavirus pandemic worsens across the country. The Rural Main Street Survey's overall index fell to 46.8 in November from October's 53.2. It's the first time since April that the index has fallen, but it remains well ahead of the 35.5 reading in March, when the index bottomed out as the outbreak began. Any score below 50 suggests a shrinking economy, while a score above 50 indicates a growing economy. Bankers from South Dakota and 9 other states were surveyed. That's your daily news update. Follow SDPB News on social and visit sdpb.org/news to keep up with our journalism as it comes in. Thank you for listening.